looking at greenhouse gas emissions primarily from a sustainable land use basis and focusing on developing countries.
Thanks for the opportunity to be in this session. I'm going to move pretty radically from the scale that Rod has been talking about to kind of the big scale issues about how sustainable land management projects, particularly in developing countries, can assess their impacts on greenhouse gas mitigation. So I'm going to talk about a project that we've been involved with actually a number of partners. I'll go back here and just in addition to Colorado State University, also the ISRIC Institute in Wageningen, University of Sao Paulo, University of East Anglia are some of the partners in this work, along with folks at Michigan State University and ECRAF in Nairobi. And basically, what we've been working on the past couple of years is to provide a system for the Global Environmental Facility, which, if you're not familiar with it, is a consortium of the World Bank, UN Development Program, and UN Environment Program. And they fund a large number of sustainable land management projects in developing countries. And many of these projects have at least a component of them, some claims or attempts to help provide greenhouse gas reductions through these land management improvements, but the GEF really doesn't have a way to assess that metric. And so we've been engaged with them and with these project partners over the past couple of years to develop a comprehensive system by which these projects can quantify their greenhouse gas benefits. So the overall project is called the Carbon Benefits Project, and just going briefly through the project objectives, as I mentioned before, there's a wide variety of different sustainable land management projects that Jeff funds, and so we needed to provide a system that could deal with all land use types and all climate and soil conditions, and also capable of looking at all the different sources of greenhouse gas emissions. And of course, I think probably most of you are familiar with the land use sector in general is quite complex, and there are many source categories of all three of the major gases, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. So that was one of the tasks, is to enable this kind of full accounting. And we also needed to provide flexibility for projects according to their particular individual needs and capabilities. Again, there's a wide range of projects, some which focus quite a lot on things like climate mitigation, whereas many others, that's a very minor component. And so we've, within this system, our group has developed a set of different tools, if you will, ranging from a simple assessment tool that can be used if projects want to do an ex ante calculation or if they don't have a lot of data, to a more detailed assessment that could include a certain amount of actual measurement of fluxes or changes in carbon stocks, as well as a dynamic modeling component for projects that have a strong soil carbon sequestration component. And we've also, within the system, are also socioeconomic tools that can be used by the projects to assess the social and economic impacts of their activities. And then the last important objective was to involve the stakeholders, the GEF projects themselves, in the development of this system. And we've been fortunate in having several GEF projects in the countries here that are shown in green indicate the case study countries. The partners involved in the system development are kind of shown here. And we've had a diversity of of projects that have been involved looking at different kinds of issues. For example, in Brazil, one of the key issues there is deforestation and land conversion to agriculture and conversion of pasture lands to crops in the Amazon frontier. So they have a specific set of needs and important sources of greenhouse gases. In the Niger-Nigeria transboundary project, their focus is on degraded rangelands and looking at management interventions that will improve the productivity and sustainability of those rangelands. Over here in Kenya, the work with the Kenyan Soil Survey and the JEF project in Kenya is looking at smallholder agriculture. So they're looking at interventions to improve annual cropping systems, but also agroforestry type of interventions as well. And then in the two projects in China, there's a diversity of different activities, including restoration of degraded lands, wetland restoration, tree planting, etc. So these are examples of the kind of diversity of land management interventions that have implications for greenhouse gas mitigation that really the Jeff and others would like to look at. So kind of to the system that's been developed here, I'll just give a quick overview of that so that if you're interested further, you can actually go online now and use parts of the system. It's still under development, but some parts are active now. So let me first point out, I'm going to be talking about this section over here, which has been referred to as one of the components of this overall CBP system. This is what Colorado State and our partners have been involved in developing, and it uses a more kind of a comprehensive and model-based but also measurement assessment approach. There's another section of the system that I'm not going to be talking about that's been developed primarily by Michigan State University and ECRAF, in which they are developing measurement protocols and measurement tools using both remote sensing and ground-based methods to look primarily at forestry and agroforestry-related systems. But once a user comes in through this project information module, which is hosted at the UNEP site, and then they're led to a toolkit advisor, which provides some advice on which of these different tools one might be interested in using. So if we come down this right-hand side of the diagram for the more comprehensive assessment, you first come down to what's called this project description module. You can see here arrayed across the top of the banner, it kind of shows the workflow of providing the project description, a guidance module, use of the analysis tools, and then a report. So starting off in this project description module, you have some different ways of displaying and analyzing your particular project area. And so there's a mapping function where you can outline physically the boundaries of the systems, but also the possibility to add coordinates for project locations or upload a more detailed project-specific GIS map, for example. And this you can't really see all that well, probably, but down here, this is the mapping tool that uses a Google Earth type interface, and you can zoom in or out. This is a area in, I guess it looks like in the highlands of western Kenya. I guess this is Lake Victoria down here. And you can see these different colored areas that have been added using this kind of a polygon tool. So if I were active in the system, I could select that polygon tool, probably zoom in, and then outline a particular area that represent my project areas. And once your project areas have been defined, the system provides a large number of background data sets in geographic form in terms of land cover, soils, climate, emission factors, et cetera, so that this is provided in the system. And then you go through and define the areas and different kinds of land uses that are associated with your project. Once you've done that to enter the land use activity data, because we're looking at greenhouse gas benefits, we have to look at both the case of the baseline case, if you will, so business as usual. What if I didn't have this project in place? What's happening now with greenhouse gas emissions or carbon sequestration in the absence of the project? And what would happen potentially under this project scenario? And so you can see over here on the left-hand side is essentially a tab or set of pull-down menus that identify the types of land use that you have arrayed within different geographically distinct areas that you've identified. Because one of the things in these large sustainable land management projects is you might have several distinct geographic areas. And so you want to be able to kind of bundle those together and treat them as a unit. And then once you've identified for each of these project activity areas, you can specify then the land management details. So this kind of pictorially gives you an idea of what the system is designed to do. If we're looking over here as starting at having defined an initial land use, then there is a baseline scenario, which might be just continued situation in the case of degraded rangeland. It could become more degraded or somewhat improved. But then you've got a system driven by the project interventions. And so what we're really trying to do is quantify this change as a function of the management interventions. And so this kind of shows pictorially what it would look like from the standpoint of emissions under a project scenario. Over here, greenhouse gas emissions as a function of time. And then in the baseline scenario, in this particular depiction, emissions are higher. So it's really the benefits in terms of mitigation are shown here as the difference between this baseline and project scenario. So kind of give, obviously this is a pretty complex system with all these different land use and intervention capabilities. I just want to walk quickly through the simple assessment tool, saying that some of our project is involving cropland and cropland management improvements to give you a kind of a flavor of how this looks. So let me go back. In addition to having information about where your annual cropland is located, then you need to characterize the system in terms of what kind of management is being carried out there, both in terms of improvements for fertility status, the tillage systems, fertilizer additions, residue management. And this is what you would have as far as your data entry point for simple assessment looking at annual crops. Where essentially you've got your particular activity areas here. You are then entering information from pull-down menus about the type of management systems you have, and then characterizing the particular management attributes of those systems. So it's basically this data, then this activity data, which is pulled together and utilized in the case of a simple assessment, essentially an IPCC Tier 1 emissions inventory for that land. I'll also briefly mention the social and economic tools that exist within the system. One is basically a pretty standard cost-benefit, which is on a spreadsheet. And the other one is probably most people are not familiar with, but it's used quite a bit in the developing world with UN Development Program and Environment Program. It's called this DPSIR framework. And it really looks at a qualitative assessment of economic and particular social drivers that affect management and system outcomes. So, for example, in using the cross-benefit analysis, which is linked in to the estimation of greenhouse gases, that you could then derive not only sort of the economic results of your baseline versus management intervention system, and combine that with the greenhouse gases to, for example, then estimate what your emissions mitigation cost would be per per unit of productivity or per unit of land area. And then finally, there's a standardized reporting system, because the GEF wants to have this information for their different projects. So we've developed standardized reports that are given out, sent automatically to the UNEP system. But also the projects can develop and use a much more detailed report on their emissions activities if they want to. So the standardized reporting includes the normal kinds of stuff that you would see in terms of the project attributes and some of the maps, but also these standardized tables. So the system now is operational with respect to the simple assessment. We've been doing some capacity building activities, and had the end of July we had actually a training system in China with about 9 different GEF projects involved that came to Ningxia province. We also have developed a Chinese version of the system, and there's a Spanish version that's underway, and we're planning to have another workshop in South America this February. This is probably the most important thing. If you're at all interested in these kinds of tools and capabilities to look at broad-scale impacts of land management and land use, particularly in developing countries, the project website is available here. And as I mentioned before, you can now go in and actually use the simple assessment for your own activities, or if you just want to play what-if games for sustainable land management projects, that's an opportunity. We've also got a users group here, a Google users group set up so that people can provide feedback in terms of the system capabilities and what you like and dislike. So I think that's all I had. Should have a little bit of time for questions then, or 5 minutes. Thanks.
Do we have a question or two for Keith? Yes.
In the cost-benefit analysis, in the calculations of benefits, does that look at only local benefits, or does it also ascribe a value to a global benefit of decreasing greenhouse gases?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now, the way the cost-benefit works is it's a pretty standard cost-benefit analysis is actually developed by the folks at University of East Anglia. In the system, if you're using that, you first download an Excel spreadsheet and then fill that in with your economic information for the project, and then you upload that back into the system. It doesn't really, put it this way, it provides the opportunity for you to assess the potential benefits to the project. For example, if there were a particular price for carbon or a price for emission reductions, or a cost for that matter, I guess, if you were doing your intervention project and you were increasing emissions. So it does at the, I would still say at the local scale, though, really within the project boundaries.
One more question? There is one.
So I said the simple assessment is now up. You can go to the website. You don't have to be a GEF project to use the system. There's actually a little radio button. You say, are you a GEF project? Are you not? And you can choose to not be a GEF project and game with it yourself. Okay, well, thanks.
Well, thanks, Keith.